Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home, we're dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. What is the original understanding of the Scriptures? How did the apostles understand it? How did Jesus teach them? What was it that Jesus taught the apostle Paul? We've been going through the 10 steps to enter into the kingdom of God, and we come to number 6, which is grow in grace and knowledge, also meaning overcoming. And that means overcoming human nature, overcoming sin, overcoming Satan, overcoming self, and overcoming the world. How do we do that? Let's come to the first epistle of Peter, and let's see how we are to grow and overcome. We've seen that we have to answer the call, we have to believe, we have to repent, we have to be baptized, we have to receive the Holy Spirit, which is number 5, and number 6 is to grow and overcome. So how do we do that? We have to put out sin. That's how we overcome it. As we have learned, we need to be converted in our minds, and we'll talk a little bit more about that this time, in how to grow and overcome. But here's how it starts. 1 Peter 2 and verse 1, "Therefore, having put away all wickedness and all deceit and hypocrisies and jealousies and all slanders," all of the evil characteristics of human nature you need to overcome with the Holy Spirit of God. But you see, God wants our active participation of putting those things out. And as we put those things out then we'll grow in the Spirit of God, grow in understanding, grow in being able to change, and let the Spirit of God convert us. We have to put it out. Verse 2, "As newborn babes," and someone is sure going to say, "There you see, we're born again." No. This is not referring to being born again. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. As this is an analogy, as newborn babes, this is referring to the first birth, not born again. As we'll see a little later on, that does not happen until the resurrection. Now we have online what is meant by born of God and what is meant by born again. Download those, read those, study those. You see, there's so much in the Bible that you need to understand that in going through a Church at Home, we are just giving you the basic introductory things. The deeper things are contained in more detailed sermons and studies, which we have on cbcg.org. Be sure and download the series of sermons that I have done, which is then God's Grace and Commandment Keeping. And another series to download is Why God Hates Religion. Really? God hates religion? You better believe that he does, because religion is a hypocritical substitute for the truth of God. So as newborn babes yearn for the pure spiritual milk. You don't come to understand the truth of God by going to the difficult scriptures first. That's why you need to download and study the 14 Rules of Bible Study. You begin with what you understand, and you build from there in order to come to the point that you can understand the more difficult and hard to understand scriptures that the Apostle Paul wrote. The pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow. We are to grow and overcome. Verse 3, "If you yourself have indeed tasted that the Lord is gracious." The word to grow. Grow in grace and grow in knowledge. 2 Peter 3, verse 18, "Rather be growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." How do you do that? Well, let's see how God does it with his Spirit. Because once we have been baptized and conjoined into the death of Jesus Christ and co-crucified with him, then God does something in converting us with his Spirit that is absolutely fantastic and a great and a wonderful thing. Come here to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and let's read it. And as we're turning there, I want you to think about what you have may have been told in the past, and that is that God has done away with the laws of God. Jesus did away with the laws. He abolished it. Paul did. Well, how can that be if you read Hebrews 10 and verse 16? Because, you see, it is through the Spirit of God that conversion comes. And what does conversion do? You're to grow in grace and knowledge. But what is it to do to your mind and your heart and your emotions and the way that you live? Verse 15, Hebrews 10. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after he had previously said, "This is the covenant." That's the new covenant that I will establish with them after those days, says the Lord. I will give my laws into their hearts and I will inscribe them into their minds. Question. Does this sound like it's doing away with the laws and commandments of God? How can they say the law is abolished and read this verse? Remember what we read before? Paul said that through grace we are establishing law. How do you establish law? By conversion of the mind, from changing it from carnal sinful nature to a converted law abiding and loving nature, and that comes with the Spirit of God, as we covered on the last segment. Now he's going to give them into your hearts and inscribe them into their minds. Is that not establishing the law of God? Now notice, verse 17, and their sins and lawlessness I will not remember ever again. So do you understand that? Yes, indeed. Has that happened in your life? If you've gone to some Sunday church and you've accepted the Lord and you think you're saved and now born again, has this happened in your life? Let's see how the Apostle Paul describes it in Romans, the 12th chapter. It has to be a complete transformation of your mind and your way of thinking from self and sin and Satan to God the Father, Jesus Christ, the love of God, obedience to God, having the laws and commandments of God written in your heart and inscribed in your mind, written. And when it's there, because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So what then will you be? You'll be loving, you'll be kind, you'll be living according to the laws and commandments of God, motivated from the inside through the power of the Holy Spirit, because you are converted. That's what it means to be converted. And what will that prepare you for? Because this prepares you for entering into the kingdom of God. Now come to Romans 12, and let's begin here in verse 1. Let's see what the Apostle Paul wrote concerning this. And this is what we need to experience over time in changing and growing and overcoming. Verse 1, I exhort you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service. Is that what you're doing? What does spiritual service mean? It means loving God, loving your neighbor, loving the brethren, loving your enemies, and having God's Spirit write in your heart and in your mind the commandments and laws of God so that you can keep them in the Spirit. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul wrote? That we're no longer to keep it in the letter, but in the Spirit. Now, notice what this will do. Verse 2. Do not conform yourselves to this world. The world wants to make you conform. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that comes day by day through prayer, through study, through overcoming, through resisting the pulls of the flesh, through resisting the temptations of Satan, the devil. So that you, with the laws and commandments of God written in your heart and your mind, love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your being, and you are truly converted. No one's going to enter into the kingdom of God unless that happens. No one has an immortal soul that's going to heaven. You're either going to be resurrected and receive eternal life, or you're not. So you see, what you also need to do in renewing of your mind, you need to renew your mind and erase out of your mind and have God replace with His Word through His Spirit the truth, rather than the religious myths, rather than the fairy tales that have been given from the pulpit, rather than the lies that have been preached by the evangelist, and even the well-noted evangelist of this world. They may sound very holy, but when they tell you, "I'll see you in church on Sunday," then you'd know they're lying. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind in order that you may prove what is well-pleasing and good and the perfect will of God. Think of that. Remember what Jesus said. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who practice the will of my Father who is in heaven." This is what it's telling us about. Do you practice the will of God? Do you? Or do you kind of want a Christianity that's like a num-num pacifier that they give the children? And you exercise like sucking on a pacifier. But there ain't any milk in that plastic pacifier, is there? No. You have to desire the sincere milk of the Word. That's what I'm giving you. And if you think what I'm covering here at Church at Home is deep and profound and interesting, which I hope it is, but the real deep things of God lie ahead. And the deep understanding of the Scriptures of God come by only applying yourself and your mind and your heart and your being to living God's way and studying His work and praying to Him every day for life, for health, for strength, for people that you need to pray for so God will intervene in their lives. And you do it day after day after day after day, every day. That's how you grow and overcome. Now, once you have gone through all of the six steps, including baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit, now we're talking about growing and overcoming. Now let's come to Colossians, the second chapter. And let's pick it up here in verse 1. Now in this case, we're going to add a few more scriptures so that you're going to understand what the Apostle Paul was really, really teaching, see? Isn't that what you want? Do you want me to tell you fairy tales? You want me to preach myths to you? I won't do it. If you want myths, go to your favorite Sunday-keeping church. Takes no faith to keep Sunday. Takes faith to keep the Sabbath. Takes no faith to keep the holidays of this world. The whole world does it. But it takes faith to keep the Passover and the holy days of God. What is it that you want? What is it that God commands me to preach? He commands me to preach the Word in season, out of season. That's what I'll do. You'll hear nothing but the Scriptures, because we are scripturalists. Now, verse 1, Colossians 2. "Now I want you to understand what great concern I have for you and those in Laodicea, as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, unto the knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." As I said earlier, no mention of the Holy Spirit is God, right? Yes. Now notice, verse 3, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." That's why you have to faithfully keep the Word of God. That's why in doing this Bible, the Holy Bible in its original order, a faithful version, because this has been faithfully translated from the Greek in the New Testament and Hebrew in the Old Testament. And if you want a Bible you can really trust, then you go on to the website for York Publishing, Restoring the Original Bible, and you check it out there. This is the one I always use. Now let's go on. Verse 4. Now this I say so that no one may deceive you by persuasive speech. Oh, there are a lot of persuasive speeches out there given by a lot of preachers, right? Yes. But do they tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Or do they give you as much truth so that you feel comfortable in what you're doing? That's a carnal response. That's a feeling response. That is not proving all things and holding fast that which is good. Verse 5, for though I am indeed absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing, beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So these are brethren who have grown and overcome and reached a certain point, and yet there's still others out there with persuasive speech, trying to lead them away. So he gives us assurance. Verse 6, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, be walking in him, walking the way that Jesus walked. Ephesians 5th chapter and verse 1, it says, be imitators of God. That's a tall order, isn't it? Well, with the Holy Spirit of God, you can. Jesus said, be perfect as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. That can be possible through growing and overcoming and attaining to the resurrection, so then you will be perfect as a spirit being. See, so God has a long-term eternal plan. Let's continue here then. Verse 7, being rooted and built up in him and being confirmed in the faith exactly as you were taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So you grow, you change, you overcome, you love God. You serve God. You are transformed in your mind. And then we're going to see that the next step will be to develop the character of God. Isn't that what you want? A lot of people set themselves up as God now. I read where one man wrote, you don't have to believe anything in the Bible. You are the truth. You are God. Really? That's a lie. How can anyone who is deceitful by nature be the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. The word of God is truth. The commandments of God are true. All the precepts of God from the beginning are right and true. And in this world, you have to be on guard because there are many out there. That's why you have the whole Bible. So you don't have to trust any man. Don't trust me. Read it in your own Bible. Don't trust anyone else. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Verse 8, be on guard so that no one takes you captive to Satan the devil through philosophy and vain deceit according to the traditions of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ. And that's what happens to so many people. They bring in myths. They bring in fairy tales. They bring in falsehoods. And they try and sanctify them by calling them Christian. And yet they are based on lies and deceit. What is your Christianity based on? Christ? The Word of God? The teachings of Jesus? Or the lies of men? The interpretations of men, the paganized myths which have been Christianized. Where's your faith? Well, you'll have to answer that question. Verse 9, for in him that is in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. So that's how we're to grow in grace and knowledge. Let's come here to 2 Peter, the first chapter. Let's see some tremendous things that have been given to us. Let's understand what it's all about. See, true Christianity is not about religion. True Christianity is not about a simple little formula that now you go to church and you give your heart to the Lord and you feel good about yourself. No, true Christianity is that you go through the 10 steps on how to enter into the kingdom of God. You answer the call, you believe, you repent, you're baptized, you receive the Holy Spirit of God, you grow and overcome. God expects us to work. He expects us to grow. He expects us to overcome, and He supplies the power to do it. Because of the promise that has been given. And here is the promise. Here is the goal that we are shooting for. This is what God is offering. 1 Peter, the first chapter and verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now here's what we're to get out of the Word of God. Here's what God wants to give us. God will open up a vast understanding of His Word for you if you're willing. Verse 3, according as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, so you can grow, so you can overcome, through the knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and virtue. What I said right there, beginning, call, believe, repent, baptize, receive the Holy Spirit, grow and overcome. Now notice, here is the goal. Through which He has given to us the greatest and most precious promises, that through these we might become partakers of the divine nature. And that'll happen at the resurrection. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now then, this then leads us to the next one, which we will cover in the next segment, which will be develop the character of God. Now, how do you do that? How does Peter define it, that it's going to be done? Don't you want to develop the very character of God? We're told in Philippians, the second chapter, which we'll cover in the next segment, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. God wants you to come to have the very same mind with the Spirit of God, the physical mind that Jesus had. It's talking about there His mind that was in Jesus. That's the mind that God wants you to have. That's the ultimate in where we are going with the 10 steps to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I want to once again call your attention to the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. And in it, it will tell you about the new covenant, the reason for baptism. And also, you need this new book, Judaism, a revelation of Moses or a religion of men. You need to understand about Judaism because that's one of the greatest weaknesses of Christianity in this world. They don't understand what Judaism is all about. And Phil Neal in this book wrote very clearly from the writings of the rabbis, how they view the Bible, how they view their traditions, and how, as Jesus said, they have rejected the commandments of God to keep their own tradition. And unless you understand that, you cannot understand Galatians. You cannot understand the difficult scriptures of the Apostle Paul. Once you have that, and then some other things that we have which will help you, then you will begin to understand the Bible and it will open up to you like just walking through a new vista and a new horizon to understand the Word of God. That's why Church at Home, because you can't get this in any church that you go to. And Church at Home is designed to bring you the truth of God. And you have to learn that first, so that you can have the true relationship that God wants you to have between the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and go to our other website, cbcg.org, and download the series that we have on God's grace and commandment keeping. Download from this website, Who and What is a True Christian? the 14 rules of Bible study. See, we have hundreds of things for you. See, the Word of God is so full and rich that it's never ending because it's inspired by the eternal mind of God. So we're here to help in any way that we can. So once again, until next time, this is Fred Kolder saying, so long, everyone.